And this is the War Room.
But what will affect your vote? Is it the deficit?
The pandemic?
The recovery?
Childcare?
Job creation?
In this important moment,
the War Room.
And on Thursday, we are courting Quebec. That is the theme of the day. Courting Quebec, the key battleground of Quebec where Erin O'Toole was, and they all need to grow in Quebec. Erin O'Toole's got 10 seats there. The Liberals have 35. The Bloc has 32. The NDP has one. Sorry, I don't think you heard that. The NDP has one. Zane Velji, political campaign strategist and partner at Northweather, formerly worked with the Calgary mayor, Nad Nenshi. Tasha Carradine, principal at Navigator Limited, an all-around intelligent person as a national columnist for Post Media. And the brilliant and always engaging Tom Mulcair, who knows a little bit more about politics than everybody else, the former NDP leader, now CTV political analyst. Great to have all three of you
here.
Evan.
It feels like day 1,000, I have to say.
Yeah,
already.
I've
been doing this for 5 days. I feel like we've been doing it every day for the last 15 years.
At least I'm not the only one. I was just saying, is it day 5? Really?
Gosh. Can I just say, you know that if we were actually together at brunch, Weiner pays. So you'd have to pick up the bill. Zane pays, because the Weiner pays, and he's just wine. Tom, let me start with you because I'm not saying you're the best, but, you know, Tasha and Zane have a lot to go to get up to Tom Mulcair's stature here. But, Tom, you're in Quebec. Courting Quebec is a big deal. Erin O'Toole was courting Quebec today. Give us the lowdown on O'Toole, who said, I'm pro-choice, and how that's playing out, and his 100-day plan in Quebec.
Well, that's interesting. Well, the pro-choice stuff is interesting because he had to make a very clear distinction between himself and Andrew Scheer. People remember that he wasn't able to be clear on this subject. So I think O'Toole did very, very well on that part, even though he was still going to talk to his base and talk about never forcing a doctor or a nurse to take part in something that they disagreed with morally. So I think that he did okay on that. Here's his 100-day promise. He has promised that he has a contract with Quebec. And that contract is that within 100 days, Quebec will have all the attributes of a nation. Now, that's something that he's going to talk about a fair bit in Quebec, but I don't think he's going to be talking about that a fair bit outside Quebec. What was interesting in his press conference, when he was asked specifically about Bill 21, which is the law in Quebec that overtly discriminates against religious minorities generally and against Muslim women in particular, because there's a chapter that can only apply to them, he skated. He said, well, you know, I'm never going to disavow a law of the National Assembly. But it's not a question of disavowal, which is actually a power that exists for the federal government under the Constitution. It's a question of whether or not you're going to stand up in front of the courts and send in the Canadian Attorney General to fight for rights of some Canadians who are having those rights discriminated against openly in Quebec. So I think he failed on that one. And there is an inherent contradiction, because it's the same Erin O'Toole who 2 days ago was saying, if I become prime minister, I'm tearing up those contracts between BC, let's say, or and the federal government on child care. Hold on, Mr. O'Toole. You're trying to say that it's so sacred what you're promising. You want it in the form of a contract. But these are actually real contracts that have been signed, and you're saying they're not worth the paper they're written on. So there is obviously some dissonance there between the two positions, Evan.
Yeah, Tash, he's trying to grow those 10 seats, or maybe protect those 10 seats. Let's get to the raw politics. What do you make of how he's trying to position himself? He's saying, look, I'm not going to faceplant like Andrew Scheer did on social conservative issues. So I'm pro-choice. Here it is. It's all out front. And I'm going to court the nationalist vote on things, like I will enforce Bill 101 and federal services. What do you make of what he's doing? Is he kissing up to Quebec? Is it working?
Oh, it's the la grande romance. My goodness, he's out there. He's, you know, he's paying the tab. He's like, this is seduction 101 here. And I think, to Tom's point, it's great to do it in Quebec. How's it playing out west? Well, the Western Standard's already picked up on it online and, of course, you know, dumping all over it, saying, here we go again, favoritism for Quebec. And that is the difficulty O'Toole faces. On the pro-choice stuff, I mean, that is something that can be sold in the rest of the country, too. I mean, that's just making his position clear on an issue that, yes, hurt him a lot in Quebec, or hurt Andrew Scheer in Quebec, but it's an issue for the rest of the country. Saying that you're going to take 100 days to create, you know, the powers of a nation, which he discusses, not limited to language, but also things like a single declaration for your taxes with Revenue Canada and Revenue
Control Canada. Over immigration, full control.
Yeah, yeah, immigration powers. I mean, he's got a whole list of things here that Quebec would like. But what about the rest of Canada? I think if he's going to do that, my response as Alberta would be to say, well, where's my 100-day deal? What's it? Where's my contract? So he's got to be able to talk this up outside the province, too. He's got to be able to say what he's going to give to other places in Canada that may also have some specific demands. And how is he going to frame that?
Zane.
Listen, I did not know that 100-day contracts were step one in seduction, but I'm learning as we go. It's
yeah.
nice to know
Don't
that.
You know that?
Clearly,
clearly,
I'm not just paying the tab. I'm learning at the same time. What an educational experience. Here's what I think the raw politics are. I think at some point in the conservative war room, they said, if Justin Trudeau takes some of those block seats, he gets a majority. And then they were like, oh, crap, we got to do something about that. I think the politics here are to not necessarily win and have more than the 10 seats that they have, but to at least preserve the status quo, to be in the same relative swim lane as Justin Trudeau is, so that the erosion that that the bloc will ultimately feel by the Trudeau force and the money and the attention that's being paid on Quebec, they can maybe fight them to a status quo. And the hope is that O'Toole can then, to Tasha's point, use those more broader centrist PC values in other parts of the country, i.e. the 905 in BC, to keep that growth. So I think it's a little bit about maybe expanding on those 10 seats, but I really think it's a fight to the status quo so that the bloc erosion does not happen, because that's the cleanest pathway to that Trudeau majority.
Yeah, Tom, weigh in. I mean, on the social conservative issues, he's still protecting things like conscience rights for doctors, which really is going to run up against the law. Doctors have to refer patients to things like medical assistance and dying if they don't want it. He doesn't want to do that. But look, the bottom line is it's not like Justin Trudeau standing up to Premier Legault. They're all kissing the Legault ring on this. Trudeau's transferred $6 billion. Jagmeet Singh, who says he's standing up for minority rights, has said almost nothing on the Bill 21 stuff. Like, if Aaron O'Toole is not standing up, nobody is. There's no contrast here. Did we lose Mulcair?
I don't know. Should I start singing Le Vie en Rose? I could do that.
I think that at the outset, it was really clear that Mr. Trudeau was never going to stand up to Bill 21, nor would Mr. O'Toole. Jagmeet Singh has a unique opportunity to do just that, because he talks so well to the younger people in the ethnocultural communities who feel left out, who know what the hurt is involved with Bill 21. He's got one seat in Quebec, Aaron, Evan, as you said right at the beginning. That's all he's got. So, and I think, by the way, that Boulatis would win his seat no matter what. So if he took a strong stand on Bill 21, it might actually help him. By the way, one of the funniest things went completely under the radar this week, because you're right to point out the fact that he removed $6 billion that Trudeau had promised for Quebec childcare that's already got the system. But it's not just under the radar, it's under the St. Lawrence. There's a dream project of a $10 billion tunnel under the St. Lawrence between Quebec City and Lévis, what they call the third link between those two parts of that greater capital area of Quebec City. Lo and behold, Mr. O'Toole announced that he's going to pony up $4 billion for that. And like I say, that one went under the radar.
Wow.
He's also got a tunnel in BC that he wants to help with. But and this is, it's a bidding war right now for those seats in Quebec. And in the Quebec City region, I wouldn't be surprised, because that's part of what Harper used to describe as his blue arrow from Saguenay-Lac-Saint-Jean down to the Beauce and the U.S. border of Maine. I think that O'Toole might actually pick up a few seats with that type of open pandering to that type of request from Legault.
I think we'll just dub it on this radio show, the blue tunnel. The blue, it's not the blue arrow, it's the blue tunnel. Okay, so let me take a break here. I want Tom, Zane, and Tash to come back. The conservatives are saying Justin Trudeau made a gaffe. Now, the words monetary policy, folks, will put you to sleep, but the conservatives are trying to say this is really about a much bigger issue, affordability and inflation. Is it? Was it a gaffe? And is this going to emerge as the big issue? Affordability and inflation, affordable housing. We'll talk a lot about that next. Stay with us on the Evan Solomon Show. Welcome back to the show. We are in the war room with three of the, they're the smartest, they're the kindest, they're the funniest. Zane Velji, Tasha Carradine, Tom Mulcair. They're here. They're joining us every day. I know Zane's already sick of us. Tasha loves it. And Tom's, you know, Tom's generous. He's doing it. He's probably slumming, but he's doing it anyway. But Zane's already complaining about it. What, I don't know, Zane. I like this. I thought this was easy peasy.
I'm saying it seems like we've known each other for years, and there's nothing more pleasurable in my day than this.
You say you want to break up, Zane. You want to break up.
No,
I don't think you were really saying that.
I was. You just heard it differently, okay?
Right.
You just heard it differently.
You know, my daughter once said, see, this is what I knew. When my daughter was young, two of her friends in, like, grade one were fighting, and my daughter intervened, as the teacher said, and my daughter said, Jennifer, it's not that you've got the wrong answer. You just have to ask a different question, which was, and I was like, she has a future in politics.
Yeah, no right kidding.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is she in journalism.
University now, Evan?
Yeah, tomorrow I am taking my daughter off to McGill. She's going to, we're driving. She moves in on to residence on Saturday. And don't get me started. Like, it's happening. It's happening.
Ugh.
My first kid off to university. It's scary, man. Very, very scary. But, you know, the good thing is she and I had the exact same marks if you added two of my courses together versus one of hers. then I'm equal to her. She's smart. Can we talk about this? Speaking of smart, you got to be smart to understand this. And I don't want to bore people, but, you know, affordability is a big issue. And we just heard from StatsCan that the inflation rate is 3.7%. This is very high. It may only be temporary. And most people listening will understand that because you're paying more for groceries and gas and for bloody well everything, it seems like. Now, it may go down or not, but Justin Trudeau was asked by Bloomberg about this. And monetary policy basically is the purview of the Bank of Canada, which targets the inflation rate at 2%. And you don't meddle with that if you're in government. Governments handle fiscal policy, and the Bank of Canada handles monetary policy. Nonetheless, this flippant response from Justin Trudeau merits questioning. Here's what he said.
When I think about the biggest, most important economic policy this government, if reelected, would move forward, you'll forgive me if I don't think about monetary policy. You'll understand that I think about families.
Yeah, he wasn't asked about that. And I'll start with you on this, Tasha. Conservatives have jumped on this, and they've said it wasn't really about monetary policy. It's about cost of living. Are they right to jump on this, or are they missing something?
Oh, they are so right. Abacus had a poll out, I think it was a couple of days ago, which showed that cost of living is the number one issue right now for voters. And monetary policy involves setting inflation targets, and higher inflation lowers families' purchasing power, and that means they can't afford groceries, rent, gas, clothes, mortgage, whatever they need. So to say that, you know, I don't want to think about monetary policy, I think about families, is one of the stupidest statements. I think since, you know, I remember Kim Campbell's famous quip that an election's no time to discuss serious issues. This one ranks right up there, so I understand that they jumped on it. It's opportune. Trudeau has this ability to put his foot in his mouth, and he's done it this time.
Yeah. What do you think, Tom?
Oh, he was reaching for one of those, you know, to quote The Simpsons, for one of those sentences that embiggens us. He was just swinging for the fences. He wanted something that sounded so high and above all the fray. I'm sorry, I don't care about monetary policy. I care about families. Buddy, inflation? Taking away people's ability to buy stuff for their families, that's something that is based on monetary policy. And it's amazing that he was able to just came up with that one on his own, Evan. And the people around him were doing what they sometimes did, like when he would talk about whipping out your CF-18s to see how big they are, and just banging their head on the wall saying, why does he say stuff like that? And this is, I'm completely with Tasha on this one. If you don't deal with inflation as you're printing up hundreds of billions of dollars here and trillions upon trillions upon trillions in the United States, obviously you're going to be dealing with a huge problem. Not the ultra wealthy that get hit with this problem. It is the average working family, or to coin a phrase, the middle class and people working hard to join the middle class.
I love
it. Pretty good. It's pretty good.
It's like watching. It's like watching Dune when, you know, they have to put the knife in very slowly. Zane.
Tom, if you did your Trudeau impression more often, I would be less bored. I'm just saying. But by the way, I totally want to be here. I totally want to be here. Well, here's the thing. You know what, Evan? Two people agreeing. Let me add a third one to the mix. And let me just focus, because I think Tom and Tash have done a fantastic job on the policy side. Let's talk about why it's good politics for the conservatives. You can either create narratives or you can lean into them. And this one leans into the narrative of Justin Trudeau. He's not serious about the economy. And as they do that, they can then bring on the clips that we've heard before. Budgets balance themselves. Because here's the thing. While there is a difference and they're right to jump on this from a policy perspective, for the average voter, they view this, like I said yesterday about O'Toole, through a lens of brand. What does this say about the brand of a person? And this does not help the brand of Justin Trudeau when he's trying to paper over things regarding the economy, even if, you know, Aaron O'Toole is trying his darndest to ensure we go from COVID and public health measures to now something much closer to his message box. Affordability, cost of living, and I think monetary policy is the bridge that Justin Trudeau does not want to the end, because if we get to an election in the next 2 weeks where we're talking debt and deficit, I'm very, very concerned if I'm the Liberals. So this is kind of leading to that spectrum that the conservatives are trying to shift the issue ballot box question to try to get Justin Trudeau off his game and off issues that he's comfortable with or that he polls extremely well on. And this could be a bridge towards that.
So you just this is a bridge over a bowl of soup. I didn't get that. Okay. Go. Jeez. Troubled soup. Tash, go ahead.
I was going to say it's also a bridge for the NDP, and we saw Jagmeet Singh go out there with his housing affordability plan and hammering that issue in BC, where housing is, of course, a huge, huge problem. So it hurts Trudeau on both sides, because people who want more restraint will say, yeah, the Conservatives are the ones here. People who say, hey, maybe Trudeau doesn't understand things, I need a progressive leader who does, I'll offer Jagmeet Singh. So I think Trudeau has to be very, very careful in both directions.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, Tom, great point. No, it's not like anyone understands. It's not like on the campaign trail the word monetary policy resonates. But the Conservatives have cleverly translated it, as Zane was saying, into affordability and inflation. And it gets Trudeau on the wrong turf there, right? And
exactly.
Talking about, and that, once you're on that turf, you don't want to fight on that turf.
Yeah, and these things can be so disconnected from the average person. But, you know, the average person buying their groceries knows that they're paying a lot more this year than last year. They see that. And they're in their radio, and they're listening to the fact that the Bank of Canada is announcing that, you know, year over year, the July inflation rate was up, you know, close to 4%. And people are going, those are big increases. You know, my pay hasn't gone up at all. And that's why this is a real opportunity for the Conservatives. And I'll say one thing about the campaign that they've led so far. The first 5 days have just been a firestorm of announcements, nonstop. And it reminds me of the type of campaign that Tim Houston just ran in Nova Scotia. He did not pause for 1 second during that campaign. Full of energy, campaign nonstop. And he beat the Liberals, who were well out in front in the polls at the beginning of the campaign. I don't know if they've got gas in their tank for the next 30 days, but I can tell you the first 5 days were quite something to behold.
Yeah, there's a lot of policy, and they got the policy book. I talked to Tim Houston, the new premier of Nova Scotia, last night. I said, are you similar to Aaron O'Toole? He said, no, I am a progressive conservative. He's running up big deficits in health care. Nonetheless, when a province turns blue, it's probably a good message. All right, Tom, Tasha, and Zane, great to have you on the program. Zane, you get a break tomorrow, so you can sort of recharge your interest, but hope, right? Right? Like, come on.
I will be energized and full of zeal on Monday.
I know. I feel like all of us are in the soup without a bridge now, but okay, that's fine. We'll find out how this plays out. It's a short campaign, but it's an interesting one. Tasha, Tom, and Zane, love having the three of you on the program. Thank you so much.
Have a good weekend, Evan.
Yeah, enjoy the weekend.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you, guys. They're great.
Enjoy Montreal.
Yeah, how can you not enjoy Montreal? I don't need a passport there to get into things until, what, September. I'll be asking Tom for advice on that. And Tasha, actually, Tasha and Tom could do the whole debate in French. They're brilliant in French, both of them.